What's up, CK? How's it going?
What is up? How's it going, Will? Really excited to chat with you. And I think that this is a really, really cool video and story that you guys put together.
Thanks. Yeah, really excited to talk about the story. Waiting for West Block. It's supposed to show up with a few people from the mine itself and then from the team there. Hey, wait, how's it going? It's pretty late for you. Glad you can make it for as long as you can before falling asleep.
I'll be here for the duration, man. Great job today, Will. That video was amazing.
Thanks, Whit. Appreciate it a lot. Appreciate the flexibility and ability to make something like that and bring that story to life. And most of all, to the Navajo people for allowing us to go down there and film, and for West Block. I'm still trying to grab them here on stage. Just give me another second. Sorry, guys.
CK, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Honor that you guys thought of us as a partner to push this out. So yeah, thank you for letting us be a part of it. And yeah, I'm kind of curious with you, Whit, you know, obviously running, you know, one of the coolest mining enablement companies out there. Why make a movie? Like, why get into education and content like you guys are getting into?
So, you know, I got to give all credit to Will here. I mean, for me as a CEO, the key is to bring great to the right positions and then provide them the support that they need they think is going to move Compass forward, move mining forward, move Bitcoin forward. And I've got a soft spot in my heart for media. You know, starting off with a podcast a few years ago, it's always been a passion of mine. So when Will came and asked about this piece, all I could do was encourage him, man. I mean, it was a great idea. He obviously brought it to life beautifully. But I hope that he, you know, gets inspired to make more of these. That's the thing. This was, you know, a proof of concept, if you will. And I could not be happier with the way that things turned out.
Should we like talk a little bit about, you know, how this story came about? Are you waiting for West Block to join still?
Yeah, I think they're still having trouble. I sent them an invite. So we can just start and kind of go around the story, I guess, on our side to begin. I'm sure they'll hit the invite here in a second. But yeah, kind of as Whit was saying, like when I first joined Compass, not too long ago, because we're definitely more of a younger company, Thomas and Whit told me about how there was this Bitcoin mine south of me. I'm in Colorado, and south of me in Navajo country. And that just really stuck with me really quickly. Just like personal backstory, like grew up pretty similar to I think a lot of people maybe in who have access to Bitcoin, and that'd be like white middle class America. Nothing like life pretty easy. And I remember driving to the Grand Canyon one year, and of course to get there from Denver, you have to go through Navajo Nation. And I just remember driving through there one day and seeing kids who were the same age as me, and just like to be frank, they just had nothing. And it was just so apparent to me, the stark contrast between my life and my opportunities and the things I was given and what they were given. And I think there's like a lot of talk nowadays about privilege. And I think it sometimes gets very lost in today's culture, but there is a privilege on very many levels, especially when you look at these topics like Native Americans and the First Nations and how they have been treated throughout U.S. history. And so that memory really stuck with me. And then when Whit and Thomas brought up the story and about how there's this Bitcoin mine down there and how they were interested in maybe something, creating something around that, like I was just drawn to it, like hunting a fly, and I had to build something around it. So that's kind of how it started off. Getting another text from West Block to see if they can jump on stage. I'm going to try to add them here.
Well, while we wait for West Block to make it up to the stage, wanted to share up at the top. I pinned Will's tweet about the article he wrote. But if you want to kind of review the story before watching the video, if you haven't already watched it, it might be worth it to skim through that real quick. But again, I think in general, this story kind of just shows like the old financial system is a system of haves and have nots and of winners and losers. And Bitcoin is this protocol that has no bias, has no understanding of history or nationality or anything like that outside of UTXOs and addresses. So the fact that, you know, a nation within the U.S. has been, you know, effectively stripped of everything that it owns and kind of put in a second class citizenship, that they can take advantage of this system and it actually is creating opportunity is, I think, it's just so beautiful.
Hey, I got Kinnett on stage now.
Hello.
Hey, Kinnett.
Hi. Hi.
We're so glad you could join us.
Yes.
Hey, Will, we've got Kinnett, Tiffany, and Ken McLean here. And we're just at site, so whoever said that we were using desktop, we were using desktop. So.
No worries. Yeah, no. Thank you so much for making the time to join us. We got a nice audience here, and we're really excited to talk about you guys and showcase your story.
So maybe Ken, if you could like do a round of introductions on who's with you, and then we can kind of get into the meat of the story.
Yeah, you bet. This is Ken McLean from West Block, and Lux is our parent company. We got involved with the Navajo in 2018. We're a Canadian company, and ironically, we were competing for the same resource as Hut 8. And at that time, Bitfury, a Russian company, beat us out. And so we ended up going and seeking some, you know, different opportunities across North America. And we came across the nation. And at that time, a large coal plant, about a 1.2 gigawatt coal plant, was shutting down. And they had significant load with the Navajo Tribal Utility Authority, which is a nonprofit. And that really is the Navajo Nation's utility. And that's main purpose of that utility is really to connect the homes of the Navajo Nation. I think the Navajo Nation land is about 300,000 square miles. It's massive. And so you have homes separated by significant distance. And really the purpose of that is to connect all those homes and also bring water and internet. The plant shutting down created an opportunity for us to introduce the idea of Bitcoin mining and really taking that wasted energy, which at the time was 15 megawatts of power, and then working through what that might look like, working through a contract. And we, if you go back in those times, they weren't rocking like they were right now. So we had some capital deployed and we were maybe three quarters of the way through the opportunity to mine, and we ran out of money, or we ran out of the kind of the willingness to put more money in. And the Navajo stepped up, and the general manager, who Will has met, a gentleman named Mr. Walter Haas, working with the Navajo Nation President Nez, gave us the opportunity to present to the council and say, do you guys want to be partners in this? And you've got to understand that presenting this and presenting what it meant, there's a few things that mattered. One was, okay, what's the economic benefit? Second, what is the job opportunity? And third, what the heck is Bitcoin, and you know, where to from here? What does this lead to? And I think the outcome was obviously a yes. And part of it was getting introduced to cryptocurrencies and getting introduced to this early, you know, the whole idea of financial sovereignty and the whole opportunity of what that might be. So there was understanding of it, not necessarily of the complexities that I think a lot of us as miners have faced with electricity, uptime, running. New Mexico has a very, very good climate for what we all try to do. And so the conditions for us were good, and the partnership has been tremendous. We actually have a number of workers here, but I just asked Kinnett and Tiff to join. They were our first employees on the project and have been with us, what, since 2018? So I'll let you guys introduce yourselves and just give some background for the group.
Hello, Yate. My name is Tiffany Nelson. Like Ken said, I've been here since 2018, September 2018. I enjoy what I do. Very interesting. Go ahead, Kinnett.
Yate. I am Kinnett Phillips, and I've been here since October of 2018, and it's been one heck of a ride.
I gotta tell you,
one heck of a ride. Very, very interesting.
These guys are interesting.
Jason was wanting to come. I'm sorry. Excuse us. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Oh, hey, Will, if you can add Jason as well. He's online. Jason,
Seahawker.
Just add him.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, they're one to listen in.
Just to add some color here, because Kinnett and Tiffany won't. They are amazing. They work their asses off.
That
mine gets hot in the summer because it's in New Mexico. It's great for, you know, 280 days of the year, but part of that summer is hot. And guess who's keeping those machines online at night, working off? It's just incredible what they do down there. So I don't think they're going to promote themselves, so I'll show them a little bit more.
They won't promote themselves to you, but they promote themselves all the time. Interestingly, deservedly so. Like the stuff that Kinnett and Tiffany had to go through initially, right, with the setup and the dirtiness and the civil engineering, we brought in initially 2,500 Avalons, and they were dirty and messy in the setup initially of that, plus the getting the building up and going. It has been a ride. But I think some of the technical skills you guys have learned have been pretty decent. Plus the ability to stay on close to your home and be able to drive to work.
Yes. Thank God for common sense as well, because if we didn't have that, I mean, and being mothers, I mean, some of the hats we've had to wear, you know, and cut corners and help save money, we've been able to do that. So
plus 100% of the workers that you hired, like we probably had 20, 30 people through here, all been relations or family or people you trust, right?
Yes, people we trust, people we rely on, who have been able to step up and help us. Yeah.
Because it's punchy work.
Very, very. I tell people when they ask, you know, what do you do? And I basically just tell them, you get paid to come work out. If you don't want to do that, okay, don't come back. But if you're cool with it, then come on back.
Don't bother asking us for a job if you don't want to lift a finger.
But it's fun. I like I said, it was something new. And, you know, I just closed my eyes and ran with it. And we're here now. So.
Did you ever think about not taking the job?
No. I've always been up for something different or something new. And I'm glad I stuck it out.
So if we could have Jason introduce himself really quick, and then I think CK and I and Whit maybe will lob some questions your guys' way just about the mine, the story, and what the mine means for the community. A lot of the same topics that the video covered, but hopefully we can get some more in-depth comments as well. But Jason, I'll give it to you first.
Awesome. Thanks, Will. So my name is Jason Sihelka, and I joined West Block actually earlier this year. So I guess I'm the youngest one of the bunch since about May or June, and probably went down to site right after that. My role is very much on the technical side, so kind of making sure that our machines are running, they're keeping cool, and all the software and configuration and all the things that go along with that. And I've definitely had several, you know, nights until 4 a.m. working with Tiff and Kinnett, getting miners on shelves and running during the crunch time. And it's been quite an adventure.
That's awesome. So yeah, we'll kind of move into more like some questions, some moderated questions from CK Witt and I. Of course, like bring up the topics that you want to cover. This is your space, and we just want to showcase you guys. Ken, you were kind
just of... Real quick. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you guys participating in this piece. We've had so many Compass customers who are hosting machines with you guys be excited about just the opportunity to participate in such a thing. So thank you guys for opening that space to us and allowing us to help some of the people around the country that want to participate in mining Bitcoin to join in on what you guys are doing down there. It's been massive. So I just wanted to say that before we kick things off.
Yeah, thanks. Will's been excellent to us, and Compass has been excellent to us. So it's just kind of quid pro quo.
Yes, you can mine in New Mexico with the Navajo if you want to. We have an option now, which
sold out.
And if you really
it's sold out in about an hour and a half. So that's
and if your miner goes offline, give me a DM and I'll text Tiffany Kinnett and get them on top. Direct access to your miner.
Before we can put you on the spot, like tell them one of the benefits for kind of the early days when the customers came, you bring them to what you did with Will. Not Will Foxley, but Will Middleton.
Oh, I brought him home and I got him down and dirty on his knees and had him butcher a sheep for us. So y'all are more than welcome
to come back. He actually earned the hashtag Res Life yes, all in caps.
And he's got his own Navajo name. We call him Biggie. But yes, we got plenty of sheep to butcher. So.
There's another perk. Another perk that we can put on there, Will, for an extra half penny.
our relatives will be so happy to have an extra set of hands to feed the animal, the livestock, with unlimited hot meals prepared.
Well, I'm a little sad now. I didn't get to butcher any sheep.
I know. It's okay. You weren't able to stay next along.
Next time. Yeah, so Ken, I just want to circle back to you and talking about kicking off the mine. What were some other factors that were involved in picking this location? Obviously, I don't know of a lot of mines in that area or that corner of the U.S., but there's a lot of attractive features about that location itself. I just off the top of my head, I'm thinking like cheap energy, abundant sunlight, pretty cheerful people to work with, obviously. Can you kind of give the audience a little bit lowdown on what went into the criteria for selecting that mine?
So I guess some of the obvious ones are climate. It is one of the more favorable climates. Even in the hot summer, it does drop dramatically at night. It is desert. And, you know, they get snow in the winter, but it doesn't get too cold. So you got the other side that it is actually a really good, because of the altitude, very good climate. Yeah, all four seasons.
We actually get all four seasons in one day.
Yeah.
I think the second thing was access to labor. And, you know, that was a win-win for both sides. The third was the ability to really work closely with both the nation and knowing the benefits that we could bringing this, you know, technology and this kind of a movement. And working with NTUA, the whole idea of having a long-term relationship to, you know, not only chase the inexpensive power, I mean, that is primary, but I think it's not, that certainly is what drew us here in the first place, was the relative price point that it brought us into. But the Navajo and the NTUA are building out a whole bunch of solar plants. So we have the ability to participate that, you know, this year, next year, and the year after. So as they get more green power, and move away from coal. It's also kind of part of the, you know, the narrative around getting into green power and supporting that part of the industry as well. I think those are the highlights that we had. Good relationship, climate, labor, and then really the technical ability if we wanted to do some other things. I will say, I'm sure other miners made this mistake, but they have a class 4 data center here, which we intend to do some other things with. But we started our Bitcoin mining in the class 4, and it was a disaster. Heat disaster, cost disaster, fan disaster. So, you know, it started off thinking we needed more high tech than what we did. One other point, maybe even comment on this for Kinnett, but the land is super important to the Navajo.
Very important, yes.
And so the land that we use is around substations. So it's not part of the grazing community. It's not part of the land usage. It's land that the utility owns that would otherwise just, you know, be gravel and dirt. So we're making use of kind of the biggest asset the Navajo have, which is the land, and using that for, power and creating tax revenue, et cetera.
Yeah, Kinnett or Tiffany, could you kind of explain the dynamic with land ownership on Navajo Nation? That was something that was really interesting to me going down there. There's the grazing rights associated with it, some of the red tape you have to cross in order to build on Navajo land, the trustee relationship with the government, all that stuff.
So how the land works for the Navajo is we do not own it. We are basically leasing it to native Navajos who have what's called a Certificate of Indian Blood, CIB, aka a census number, that we're each given when we enroll with the Navajo tribe. And we are allotted, land is important because it is life to us.
Consider
it's life.
A rich versus actual monetary.
Materialistic yes. things. And we, Shiprock area, Kadiai, where we have what's called the San Juan River flowing right nearby. So we are basically like a farming community. We plant corn, melons, vegetables, a lot of alfalfa hay. Corn is life. Corn is very important to us. And where when a company wants to set up business, there is a lot of red tape because our land, the Navajo tribe has land allotted for the people, not necessarily non-natives. And there's red tapes left and right that need to be cleared in order to set up. And
it makes it very, very extremely hard to convince, the Navajo Nation for businesses to come in and run their business.
And you have to understand one thing, too. Another thing, too, is the Navajo tribe, a lot of our elders never went to school. They're not educated. So if a new business tries to set up shop, automatic mentality is, oh, they're trying to steal land. Mm-hmm. That's the first thought that comes to mind. So where site is at, it's actually right next door to N2A, where N2A has this plot of land in their name but for business use, and it's already been approved. They're not intruding on anyone's grazing right, grazing permits, lease, home site lease.
No. We still had to get all those approvals subsequently.
Yes.
Even though we knew they were cleared, we still have to present to each of the chapters of which the land is owned by. And chapters, I guess, are towns.
Look at it as city hall, little government offices within a town. That's what the chapter is. So a company would have to start from the very bottom and eventually work their way to the top, which is in Winter Rock, Arizona, the Navajo Nation capital, where you step before the council delegates and you present it to the Navajo Nation president and vice president. So it is a long process. It's not something that can be
very long
easily stamped within weeks. It can, this whole
years.
It was very intimidating presenting the 31 tribal members and then they have translators, so it's done in the Navajo Nation language.
Yes.
And so it's it was intimidating for sure. But
it's a lot of
if you can imagine, like in the movies, Hollywood, let's say, you have a white man coming into a village of so many, just an Indians, and I'm sure it was very intimidating.
I can back that up. It was intimidating going down for 2 days.
You're not trying to convince one person. You are trying to convince a community,
a nation. Oh yes.
it's a process.
Yeah. So I guess just kind of sum up what you guys are saying is land rights just operate differently on the nation.
Yes.
And that makes it tremendously difficult to operate a business, and that makes it difficult to get ahead in a sense, is a thing that I picked up a lot in the interviews that I conducted with you guys and with Walter. You know, for better or worse, how the land rights are set up, it necessarily makes it hard to set up a business and be an entrepreneur because you have to go through all these government hurdles. And I think a cool part of the story is that the Bitcoin mine happened. Like, it got through those hurdles and now they're hashing.
Yes.
And there's more jobs in the community, and you two are a testament to that. So I kind of want to circle back to that point and ask you guys, what's it like being Navajo and mining Bitcoin? Like, how do you guys talk to other members of your community?
So the first thing that comes out of the family members, friends that ask what I do, the most common response is, what is Bitcoin? What are you mining?
What is Bitcoin?
Oh, maybe really quick, could you give like a backstory on mining in the Navajo Nation? I think that's something the audience wouldn't know.
Okay, so mining to the Navajo to the Navajo Nation means coal mining. We're in the ground. We are getting dirty.
Which we have a lot of mines around us. So when we say, you know, we're mining, that's exactly what they're thinking. Oh, they're underground mining for coal. But when they ask what is Bitcoin, it's a whole different story we have to explain.
And then halfway, before we even finish, they're lost. They don't even know what we're talking about. And it's now gotten to the point where we're like, yeah, we're basically maintenance techs. just to simplify it.
Yeah, we're janitors, is what we say, just so they can, you know, to bring it back down to their level. We, to explain it to someone who doesn't have any education, who doesn't really understand, you know, what internet is, computer is, it's, you know, does not register with them. So
the Navajo Nation, I want to say we are, as the Navajo Nation as a whole, we are way behind when it comes to technology. I'm looking at 25 years, 30 years at most. Yeah. We have businesses on the Navajo Nation that still do purchase orders by hand. Yeah. Whereas companies, you just jump online, you type in the info on the internet, and boom, you have us up, you're done. But here it's different. We're not yet at that stage where where offices can use a debit card. Mm-hmm. Everything's done by check.
I don't know if we ever will be, just because of our elderly, you know, still fearing
identity theft and
not only that, but losing our heritage, our culture. You know, in some ways it could be ye, which in Navajo terms is, you know, that's scary. You know, we don't bother that, you know, it's not for us type of thing. So it's a very, very fine line. But, you know, like I said, I enjoy what I do, you know, trying to interpret that, trying to explain to someone, you know, it is challenging. But once, you know, you tell your story and, you know, I have a job, you know, and they're like, okay, you know, that's good. It's good. So trying to, like I said, break that and get them to understand, you know, it's not something we should fear, but more or less, you know, be more welcoming and be more understanding.
It's one of the next things we're going to try, Will. Is we're gonna start we had a couple of scholarships that we introduced that we want to do on a regular basis, and we want to add education on. I think if you're a Bitcoin miner and you're not also pushing adoption and pushing knowledge of Bitcoin, you're not doing your job. And that is, you know, we've got part of the trip that I'm down here on is to begin introducing that to some of the politics, the politicians, you know, getting outside of NTUA and saying, how can we help introduce these thoughts? And there are a couple of council women that are very have invested time and energy in understanding this. And so I think starting to bring that educational, you know, I've talked a little bit about this offline, about what can we do, you know, very similar to El Salvador. And that's what we talk about. You know, it's reversed. Navajo started as Bitcoin miners, but don't have any of the infrastructure to do, you know, the Lightning networks, et cetera. El Salvador started the other way around and got into mining. So I think that's kind of incumbent upon us to really start spreading that education. And you can see that it started the groundwork. If they're getting asked, Tiffany and Kinnett's families and friends are getting asked about this, there is great interest. And I think it's up to us to provide the information.
And, you know, on that, I just want to say, you know, I'm very grateful, thankful to West Block, Lux Folio, you know, for bringing diversity to their company by hiring myself and Kinnett. You know, we are both Navajo women, you know, Diné women, and both single mothers, you know. So the struggle has been very real for us. I don't want to break down crying because I'm kind of getting emotional, but, you know, just to be able to have, you know, the doors open for you know, as people, you know, and because we're women, you know, and in our culture, you know, women, of course, are the backbone. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to brag, but who better than to have women?
We do that too.
Yeah.
Turns out you were right.
Did y'all hear that? Ken said I was right. But, you know, no, I'm grateful to have this job, and, you know, it's so close to home. It's right down the road. It's in a very secluded area, especially with COVID going on, you know, and, you know, I'm just grateful. I'm very thankful. And like I said, just opening it up for, you know, the Navajo Nation as well. I'm sure, you know, as well as other tribes to come, but, you know, it's really a good thing. I don't have anything bad to say about it. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm very grateful.
So Kinnette and Tiffany, you both kind of talked about how things are very, very slow moving when it comes to technology and even when it comes to like internet connectivity and stuff like that. We've seen people talk about, you know, the opportunity for Bitcoin in Africa and in South America to have, you know, people that live in those regions kind of leapfrog past, you know, what is like, you know, the current financial infrastructure that Americans are used to, you know, outside of Navajo Nation and outside of, you know, maybe some other tribes. Do you think that there's an opportunity for people within the nation beyond, you know, just you two working at this mining firm or future mining firms or operations to, I guess, adopt Bitcoin as money, as an asset? And maybe, you know, leapfrog past debit cards and credit cards and just go straight into internet cash?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what the goal would be, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're leading toward. But like I said, just trying to explain and, you know, educate our people on that so they're not afraid, so they're not scared, they're not in the dark, you know, like Ken did talk about, you know, educating. I think, you know, that's where we're headed.
Yeah, it's going to take time, just like getting the mindset up. Mm-hmm. And we're just in a position of confidence now. We're going to lay that track now that we've had some success as partners in the mining side. That's just...
We were just talking, and we've had, what, maybe within the past year?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years, yeah.
They tried to get hemp going here in Shiprock, and it just did not take a turn to... I guess the people who were investing in it it headed south fast. And a lot of the locals and, you know, elderly did not agree with it. They did not get,
So 2 years ago, we had an individual who grew up in the Shiprock area.
Born and raised,
with roots here in our community. And
with his father in the political.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He presented, that the Navajo Nation invest in hemp, quote unquote hemp. Well, we had a flood of people come into
workers.
We had semi trucks coming in, and it soon looked like not a circus, but we had what they call hoop houses in certain certain farmland on land that was leased out to community members. And in turn, this individual said, oh, I'll pay you so much every month for, quote unquote, leasing the land so that we can grow hemp. Long story short, it was done illegally, and it was found to, these hoop house greenhouses were found to be growing marijuana, mm-hmm. not hemp, as it was presented to the community. So now the farmers who had farming permits. Are now in hot water for allowing this individual to set up these greenhouses, thinking that they were investing in hemp, only to be actually growing marijuana in these greenhouses. We had a raid here. A raid had happened about 30 miles east of where we're at, and they found these workers in a hotel sorting through black trash bags of marijuana. So it is very, I understand where the Navajo people are hesitant, mm-hmm. you know, very hesitant to allow to say, okay, yes, you know, I agree with this company. And yet something like this happens. Someone who was born and raised from a community.
Not only that, but there was these workers that did come from out of town overseas who were offering money to women to come, you know, entertain them or whatever at their man camps. And it was, they were even, you know, approaching men And it just got to the point where it was not a good thing. I mean, people were, you know,
were missing.
Women were missing.
People were getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was even reported that minors were working under the age of 13. So
we can see, you know, how it's not really, I guess, going to be welcome. But, you know, like we said, if we just educate and, you know, we
inform, you know, that if everyone is informed of what this is going on, how the return is helping our community.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, that's a pretty dark story.
Very dark. Sad.
Sad, right? And because mm-hmm. every time you have a betrayal of trust, trying to bridge that trust, especially as newbies, not part of the community coming in. So that's someone from the community
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
betrayed, whether he knew what was going on or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think, you know, trust is doing what you say you're going to do. And
yes.
Consistent.
Yes.
And boy, that's to undo that once, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a follow-up question for Kenneth and Tiffany. Just from what that story particularly, and I haven't heard that one before, it's the Navajo Nation is much more conservative with its community in the sense that they're always looking to protect each other and everything is extremely relational, right? Remember you guys talking about the clan names, and every time you introduce or see each other, you go by your clan name, which includes all the family members that are in your lineage to like respect them. And then also it's just like a means of showing like, oh, I know this person or I know this person and we're part of this larger community. And then you have these outsiders come in and they trash that and they don't respect it. In terms of Bitcoin itself, though, Westblock coming in and fostering this Bitcoin mining activity is obviously very interesting to see that they were able to kind of bridge that. I'm wondering how much do you two in particular think about Bitcoin, or maybe Navajo in general think about Bitcoin as something that's not from the U.S. It's something that's global. It's something permissionless. It's something that anyone in the world can be a part of. And so then there's not that stigma of it's something that's outside the community.
Not sure what you're asking. I think is the look I have in their faces.
I can rephrase that. So we always like to think of Bitcoin as like this big decentralized money system that anyone can be a part of and anyone can join. And the Navajo obviously are much more conservative when it comes to letting people into the nation and being and them interacting with things. So do you think like going forward, the nation or members of the nation are going to continue having issues accepting Bitcoin because it's so foreign as a technology or as like an idea? Or can it kind of move past that and Bitcoin be seen as something that's like a global network, something that is beneficial for everybody and it's not going to take advantage of them? Maybe I confused you guys more there. I'm not sure.
Well, I feel like, you know, the main thing that Bitcoin is a good, again, it's going to take a little longer for the Navajo Nation to jump on board with
it all goes back to the education of it, you know, just trying to get them to understand it. Of course, you know, change every day, everyone, you know, so, and change could be a very good thing. You know, that's one thing we want to try to get, you know, our Navajo people, you know, Dene people to see and understand, you know, we don't necessarily need to stop in our tracks and, you know, fear the unknown. But I do understand, you know, and I respect, you know, our elders and their teachings, but, you know, this is definitely a good thing, you know, and like I said, it just falls back on education and trying to get them to see that, you know, and, you know, hopefully go from there. I mean.
Totally. Yeah. Sorry for that long-winded question. You guys are familiar with how I ask.
So I guess I have a follow-up. How can you tell that, like, how do you know that Bitcoin is a good thing? I'm just kind of curious. Like, what about it is, like, this is something new that we should embrace?
Well, I remember hearing about it, you know, maybe 10 years ago and maybe even 15 years ago, and like a snowball effect, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I haven't heard really anything bad on it. You know, I haven't, maybe just because I'm not looking for it, but I haven't, you know, and like I said, with technology growing nowadays, you know, I mean, everything's just, you know, growing, changing. So, and like I said, you know, I mean, change is good. You know, and, you know, we hope to, I guess, you know, just evolve from that. Like we, you know, we have been all along. So, and I'd like to keep totally. That hope up that it's a good thing, you know.
I just hope that the Navajo Nation eventually grows with this whole Bitcoin. We have several substations across the reservation. Shiprock, Kadiai is not the only substation on the reservation, across the reservation. And it would be really, really nice, mind-blowing to see Bitcoin next to substations across the reservation. You know, it's if Cuddy Eye site can sell out in an hour and a half, can you imagine?
I mean, not only that, not only on the Navajo Nation, but, you know, with other tribes as well, you know,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, it'll definitely open doors, you know, for, you know, more of our indigenous brothers and sisters. So.
Totally. Yeah. I've actually already had a few comments from other people. Whit had to drop off, but he's part Cherokee. And so he was really keen on seeing this story through. A few people have already reached out about working with West Block or Compass or with NTUA or the nation itself and seeing where there can be more adoption of Bitcoin on tribal land.
Yeah.
I think one thing just to add, like it is its own nation with its own rules, its own politics, its own government, its own kind of rights and privileges. So I think that anyone coming in and thinking you can bring, you know, typical perhaps North American rules of engagement, you just have to really, I think, be A, respectful, but also understand, because those are some of the risks on the other side. Mm-hmm. You're working on someone else's rules, and I think that's just something to be cognizant of as well. As we look to say, how do we get to adoption? There are just different rules of engagement with the nation.
Totally. And that kind of leads me to my last question as we're starting to wrap up. And then we'll maybe bring one or two people up on stage to ask some independent questions from the audience. But what does this look like next, particularly for the nation? I know West Block has some plans that you may or may not be able to share, but maybe that's more adoption in the region or in different chapters, or maybe that's just pushing things forward on the governmental level. But yeah, we'll start off with that, and then we'll go to two or three audience questions.
So I'll take that question. I think one is we are looking to participate in the solar projects that the nation are building. And they have fairly significant ones supporting LA.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they, 400 megawatts, 450, I think, in 2024.
Yeah.
So we want to negotiate and take a piece of that. And second, we, you know, part of this is working with the community is to really start bringing that education and awareness message and just chipping away at that over the next year. So that's our goal for the 2022 is to really implement something. And with the support we have on the ground and Tiff and Kinnett and the other people, we have a really good groundswell to work from. And there's some interest from the politicians, which we need. And so that's really the second component. And then the process that we talked about with land, we have that ongoing meeting with the different chapters, presenting the economic benefits, the business case, as it were, and then the softer business case. So that's the future plan with the nation.
Awesome. Okay, so got a few guests on stage from the audience to ask questions. We only have about 10 minutes left, and Kinnett, Tiffany, and Ken and Jason are hard at work, so we won't keep them for too long.
Yes, thank you for pulling us away. We actually
Ken sent me a message. There's a few online. They need to get back to work. So we'll start off with Wicked, and then we got a few more from there.
Hey guys, thanks for having me up here. Awesome. What you guys are doing, super, super interesting. My question, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I was curious if it's, you know, is it, well, let me start by this. Do you guys use the United States dollar? Does the Navajo Nation use the dollar?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. Sorry for my...
Hey, there are no stupid questions ever, right? So you're good.
Okay. So that leads me into this next question. Would it be legally possible for the Navajo Nation to declare Bitcoin as legal tender, kind of the same way El Salvador did?
Not right now, but like I said, I'm sure that's where we're headed. And that would definitely be, you know, that's one of the, I would say would be one of the goals, you know, for, with, you know, upcoming, what, maybe 5+ years, I would hope.
So I guess more specifically, like, would there be pushback or does it even matter what the United States government thinks? If the Navajo Nation were to declare it legal tender?
That's a big question.
That's one for our Navajo Nation president.
Yeah, I can't put words in it. OPVP is someone that would, a representative would be better to answer that question. I don't want to say something.
Yeah, I'll jump in there really quick, and it's part of the documentary. But the Navajo in the treaty with the U.S. agreed to pay taxes in dollars. And everything on the reservation also circulates in dollars.
Yeah.
And that's something we tried to tap into with the story is the Navajo are independent people and they have to use the dollar, but they have no control over monetary sovereignty.
Yes.
That's something that came out a lot talking with Delegate Crotty and some other delegates that, you know, it's an independent nation in many ways, but not sovereign over their own money.
You know, related to that is the velocity of money and keeping the money on the nation. Mm-hmm. And the multiplier for a typical nation is 20. So if you spend a dollar, you get 20 times the benefit of it. On the nation, it's 5. And so part of that is figuring out how to keep, you know, how do you keep that money in circulation? How do you spend it? How do you get the services? Mm-hmm. And that benefits the nation.
Which is why I said, you know, that would be one of the goals we, you know, I would like to see personally for our Navajo Nation, you know.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Above our pay grade, for sure. But absolutely that education and awareness that we're talking about.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Justin, if you're there, we'd love to get your question. How's it going?
Yeah. How are you guys doing? It's actually more of a comment, I guess, than a question. But I just really want to tell what the West Block folks and obviously the Navajo Nation tribal members that I think this is exactly what I've wanted to see happen from the mining side. I just started a mining company this year. And this was one of the things that kind of inspired me to want to do it is to get every tribal group in the country their own Bitcoin mine because of the jobs that it creates and the sovereignty that I think you're taking a little bit back and actually becoming more sovereign through Bitcoin mining. And so I guess my biggest question is, what education efforts are you guys pursuing? And I apologize if that was touched on earlier. I had to jump on late, but what efforts are being made to kind of educate the tribal members on what this potentially does and being able to take back some true sovereignty? And, you know, the question just before this about whether you can declare it legal tender or not, even if you can't because of, you know, some legalities, just the fact that you have Bitcoin now in the community and as you continue to educate people and they start to realize that, yes, we still pay taxes and everything in U.S. dollars, but this is allowing people to take back some individual rights and some tribal rights that really have been taken away forever since the U.S. became the U.S. So mainly that, what kind of education efforts are taking place right now, I guess, through West Block or any other groups that are coming in and trying to work with the community to educate them on what this does for them?
They're pointing at me to answer, so I will. Part of it is, you know, it's interesting as they have to talk to the people. So getting the layman's language across to Tiff and Kinnett to say, here's what you do and here's why you do it. But that's the mining aspect. That's the physical aspect of this business. The adoption that I talked about earlier that I think is incumbent upon Bitcoin miners to do is to create and encourage adoption. I think that that's our responsibility now. And we're just putting up our head above water to do that. We had a groundbreaking in, I don't know, 45 degree weather. So it must have been July. and it was really interesting spending that time with, the politicians in this case and them trying to understand, how do we apply this? This is one thing about the specific economic benefits of buying electricity, of hiring local workers, of paying taxes, internet, et cetera. What else can this do for us? And a few of the council people and the vice president began to understand that there's something more to this that can be an ad. And that part, and this is really just kind of mimicking what's going down in El Salvador and saying, what's the use case down there? You know, that initial setup on the beach, how do we do that here? There is a good technical school here. So we have a couple of ideas about how to start that thread and to get people actually listening. Tiffany says it best, you know, there's a reluctance for change. There's a scariness of change. But if we could just have a session where it's almost like this Twitter spaces, we'll have people can hop on and hop off as they want to and listen in. And it'll be on us to educate and provide the content, the background, and then maybe even some of the, you know, financial rails eventually to say, how do we actually use this on the nation?
Well, I absolutely love it. I'm so happy for you guys. I'm so happy for West Block. I'm jealous that I did not get to do it first, but I absolutely love it. And if there's anything I can do to help, and this is nothing to do with making any money, I don't even care about that. I want to be involved in helping educate those communities. I'm a Cherokee Nation tribal member, and I've been trying to reach out to them and get them involved. what's that?
It was kind of muffled. That's a brother.
That's right. So I am very, very passionate about this. And I thank you, Westblock. Thank you, Navajo Nation, for you guys taking the step this first. Mm-hmm. And I'm super happy, and I'm going to be cheering you guys on.
Yeah,
let me know if there's anything I can ever do to
help. You bet. We're going to have a call to action plan, and I think it's a 2022. Begin it with a fresh start to the year, so symbolic as well. So absolutely, I think, talk to Will, give your name, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Already getting us involved.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin.
So we got a few more guests. I saw that Max Kaiser jumped on stage, so I want to give you a warm welcome along with Guy. How's it going, guys?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, it's fantastic. Super great news. Navajo Nation, and inspired by El Salvador. And this is the thing about El Salvador that people aren't really taking on board. It's a global message that went out like a beacon all over the world. And inside America is a whole other nation, Navajo Nation. And having traveled through those areas of the Dakotas and up in those areas, and Standing Rock, we were up in Standing Rock not too long ago. And, you know, this is what people desire: sovereignty, unconfiscatable wealth, and values. You know, Bitcoin allows people to express their values. In a U.S. dollar-based economy in the United States, values have been usurped by fiat money, and we are suffering as a result. The values, the average American values, are quite poor. But the values in Navajo Nation and elsewhere are still extremely strong. So add Bitcoin to the mix. And
you're jumping up there, Max.
Frick.
Slowly drifting away.
How's that? Better?
Much better.
Right.
Sound like a flyaway fastball.
So values plus Bitcoin equals tremendous opportunity. So it's exciting.
Yeah, thanks for those words. I appreciate it. Guys, Hila, you're also on stage. I want to give you a moment.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to say, from a TV producer point of view, over here in England, Will, you smashed it. This is a great piece of work. It's so good. It's absolutely the most fascinating thing. It's so well done. It's so great. And the Navajo people, I know nothing about your community, your story, or anything. And what's so great about this is now I'm hearing your stories. And as an English person in little old England, that's incredible for me that Bitcoin is showing the power of how global it is by bringing us all together in this way. And I just simply wanted to say thank you for allowing Will to tell your story and for telling more of your story tonight. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's good to hear feedback like that. It really is.
My pleasure. Good luck to you. It looks great. Good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. The real stars are Kinnett and Tiffany and everyone working down there and making an alternative future for the Navajo themselves. I think that was the key highlight I wanted to get out of this piece was the Navajo are doing this themselves. It's not about someone outside trying to fix problems. It's the Navajo, and Kinnett and Tiffany are the stars of that show today. I want to just give them like all the kudos in the world and praise for that.
Well, you've made them international stars now, Will.
Yeah. You better be careful. You better get some new contracts lined up. There's going to be many.
We're working on that always.
You need a Navajo agency, talent agency now. That's what you need.
Will, I want to echo, too, just that great job, man. That was very well done. Good job.
Thank you.
All of you. Yeah, this is great.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Tyne. Yeah, shout out to a lot of the people at Compass. Especially Wit, who gave me a flexibility to be able to create something like that. There's a ton of requests to jump up on stage and ask questions, but Ken, Kinnett, and Tiffany, I don't want to keep you here if you have other obligations. So we can go through those guests if you're interested. But
maybe a couple more. Well,
we can take a couple more.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll add them up one at a time. So Jamie, we'll get you first. Hey, Jamie, how's it going?
Hi, guys. Good. Thanks for taking my question. Greetings from Canada, Treaty 4 territories of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, and Nakota, and homeland of the Métis Nation. I am a settler here, and I just wanted to congratulate you, but also have a question. Are you sharing your mining experiences with First Nations here in Canada, and have they reached out to you for any knowledge sharing?
No. I spoke to one individual, and was never followed up by him for next steps. So we haven't done anything with Bitcoin mining with the First Nations in Canada.
Well, thank you for answering. I do have a couple of friends that are leaders in the Indigenous community. So I just put them in contact with you guys.
Yeah, put them in contact with myself and Ken. You can send me a DM and I'll create a email chain. I've already had a few other people from the First Nations reach out along with the Cherokee Nation. And it looks like there could be something brewing here, maybe some sort of Bitcoin mining coalition for tribals, tribes across the U.S. and across Canada and elsewhere.
Yeah, there was a tribe out of New York that had contacted Intua yesterday in regards to how they could set up one on their within their reservation boundaries. So it's the word's getting out there.
Awesome. Thanks for that question. Chase, I see you're on deck now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Kenneth. So yeah, I'm calling and listening in from Salt Lake City, Utah.
I've spent say a lot that again, please.
Chase Mansfield, Bilakan and Shikoto, Bilakan Bashinto Flachini Tasnessa. I'm really excited to hear about all this. I've spent a lot of time on the reservation, and so I understand some of the problems. One of the big problems is electricity and running water. And so my question is this finally going to be the pathway to build out culinary water and electricity for the Navajo, the Diné people?
You know, I think it's a start. I mean, what better way than to, you know, go down this road? And like you said, you know, I am most definitely sure that's where it's going to head to.
I mean, so far, electricity has been routed to, as we call it, the heart of the Navajo Nation. That means in places, rural places, where there was no electricity at all. Running water, it's going to take a little longer because they have to, you know, they got to find the natural spring in the ground. And again, that is kind of a touchy subject because there are families that don't want to their land untouched, disturbed.
Sure.
So it's, you know, this is a start.
Thank you for answering that. And I guess my next question would be, you know, what can we do in the Bitcoin community to help scale this sovereign scalability?
Like I said, this all goes back to education. I mean, that's the only way.
I think that with Will, like with Will's help around this, it's one of the things that I've been asking for Will is to be a lightning rod to begin that effort. So I think as we get organized on that, we'll put the call out. And I know the community always responds.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting to hear and listen to all of this. And we're rooting for you up here in Salt Lake City. Anything we can do to help. And thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Chase.
And before you go, I wanted to say, if you're ever in the Navajo Nation, anywhere on the Navajo Nation, you, of course, you know, white people tend to be the foreigners. But best thing to do to break the ice is introduce yourself, you know. And it starts with your, you know, on your mother's side. You know, just who you are, where you're from, you know, quick rundown of the clans, like we said, you know.
Yep.
Just explain, like you did, Chase, you know.
Yeah.
That was the icebreaker. You were on point with it.
Yeah, you caught the Kitlachini clan. So yeah. I spent a lot of time with Kitla. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much. It's really exciting. And I wanted to tie in. So there's a program up here in Salt Lake called Adopt a Native Elder Program. And I volunteer with that. And so it's something that I've wanted to see tied together is, you know, crypto and this decentralized finance really like finding its way to the Navajo people. And so it's very exciting. I know you guys have been through a lot with the pandemic. And, you know, we think about you up here and anything we can do to help, let's connect. Thanks to all you guys, everyone part of this Compass, Bitcoin Magazine, West Block, and the Diné.
Chase, thank you for that. Yeah, be sure to send me a DM and I can kind of start connecting you with everyone. I'm kind of the unofficial spoke to the wheel, I guess, for this conversation.
Thanks, Will.
Didn't expect that, eh, Will?
Go ahead, Chase.
I did not expect, but honestly, I think it's a pretty fulfilling spot. Media can sometimes you feel like a leech in media, not doing anything well, but hopefully I can add some value here. I think Corrine is on stage now and definitely want to get your thoughts. Ken, Kenneth, and Tiffany, if you guys ever need to jump off because you're busy, please feel free just to give us a little wave and depart.
Sure, we can take one more.
All right, cool. Hi, I'm Cole. I'm from the Penobscot Nation up here in Maine, and I'm a Bitcoiner. You know, we're not much of a, not many resources here for us to mine, but from an education standpoint and what Bitcoin the asset can do for tribal members and what it has done for me personally, it's really powerful technology. And especially from the sovereignty standpoint, you know, becoming sovereign from the government and using our own money that is sort of everybody's, I think that's very valuable. And I want to start educating my tribe on what Bitcoin can do for, you know, everybody, all the tribe, all of our local tribes. And I just wanted to ask if there's anywhere we can follow your education efforts, and if it's going to be open, because a lot of
it will be open. Yeah, 100% open and free for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it would be really useful to have that open and free to share with my local tribes and just any tribe anywhere.
Great idea. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kinnett, it was Kinnett or Tiffany told me when I was down there that in order to explain Bitcoin to people, I needed to bring it back to sheep farming, which was a new allegory or metaphor for me to kind of tackle, and I still haven't got it down, but maybe we can figure out some sort of education around that. It's definitely a little different.
Yeah, especially the sovereignty standpoint, that angle mm-hmm. can really be powerful for tribes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that Max and I were at Navajo Nation through Arizona and New Mexico a few years ago and traveled through it, and it's absolutely beautiful, stunning, gorgeous. You wouldn't believe it. It's like the Grand Canyon without any tourists. It's so stunning. So if there is some sort of Bitcoin conference that can go on there, that would be amazing. I also want to point out that our No Fucks Given Bitcoin tour in Phoenix was attended by somebody in the room, Tyler, THJ, Navajo Jewelry. He makes amazing jewelry. And he is a passionate Bitcoiner. So I know the obvious like case for Bitcoin for the Navajo Nation and other First Peoples of America is important. But can you tell us more about the actual operations? What is the Bitcoin mining that is happening in the Navajo Nation? I might have missed the first of the top of the call about that. So if you can tell us a little bit more about it.
Ken, I don't know if you have to run or not.
No, I wasn't even paying attention to that one, but I am doing it a couple of miles. Can you repeat that? I super apologize. I just got distracted by one thing, someone waving at me at the door, so I just popped out. Go ahead and repeat it, and we'll make it the last one, Will, if that's okay.
The point for you is just, can you elaborate a little bit more about what the actual Bitcoin mining operations are in Navajo Nation? Is it like actually out there in Arizona and New Mexico, or is
Yeah. It's closer. It's in Shiprock, if you know. It's in New Mexico. And I guess the closest location is
Four Corners.
Yeah, Four Corners. Okay. So
it's like, what, 20 miles west of New Mexico, Arizona border, 45 minutes from the
right, hence so the Four Corners.
Yeah, 30 minutes from. So we're about 20 miles east of Arizona, New Mexico border.
Yeah.
About 30 miles from the Colorado, New Mexico border.
So we're right on the substation. We're on Cudahy Land, mm-hmm. and we are 15 megawatts. And we should have that completely full by February of 2022. So the girls are just taking in new miners every day, and we've been able to really kind of advance different parts of the plan on that. So we have a mix of containers and building, and we're just moving forward with immersion for the next 6 megawatts of equipment.
And will you hold all your Bitcoin, or do you need to sell any? Like what's
No, we're holders. Yeah, we're totally holders. Good question.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for those questions, Stacey.
Yes, sir, and Stacey, about not catching it at first.
No problem. It's a great day for you, right?
Oh yeah. No, we're in a you know, our work area, and we got a shot, and it's about 80 degrees. So I was just out getting some fresh air.
Oh no, you guys are in that little room. Yeah, I know exactly where you guys are.
We got a new mobile trailer for the record.
Yay!
So.
Yay! Okay, so I just want to give both Kinnett, Tiffany, Jason, and Ken a huge round of applause, and thank you for joining us for this Twitter space. Also want to thank Bitcoin Magazine for helping us amplify and boost this conversation, CK especially. I want to thank everyone in the audience for listening and participating. I know there's a lot more requests for questions. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get to them, but thank you for your interest. as always, we do this Twitter space on Thursdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, and we can definitely talk about this more in the future. Lastly, I'd ask that people go watch the documentary and go share it with a friend if you can. Compass made that. We didn't make any money on it. Trust me, it cost a lot. And we made it because we want to showcase what Bitcoin mining means for people. So if you like it and are inclined to share it with a friend and educate people on what Bitcoin mining can do for communities, we'd really like that. And then lastly, if you want to talk with Ken and Westblock, or if you want to get involved with the Navajo Nation, get connected with Tiffany and Kinnett, send me a DM and I can connect you guys. But thank you so much for joining us today.
You're first class all the way around, and Luxfolio, Westblock, and Tiffany Kinnett and the whole gang. We greatly appreciate it. We had so much fun when you guys were down here. We'll continue having good times ahead.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Will.
Love you. Miss
you. Awesome. I've got a sheet waiting for you, okay?
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Peace.
See you guys. Bye.